right, we've now been joined by the winner of the second duel tonight, Chase Elliott. We'll go ahead and open for questions. If you have a question for Chase, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll work to get a mic to you. We'll start in the back with Jordan and then come up front to John.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. What were some of the big things you learned tonight in today's duel that you can apply to Sunday?
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in there, I thought, honestly. And I think that was large in part because it got pretty aggressive and fast at different times, which was really good. A lot of times you run this race and, you know, it's not the craziest thing and the energy level is not super high and the pace doesn't get super fast, but I thought it did tonight at different points in the race. So, you know, unfortunately I spent, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, but spent a lot of time like leading, you know, either leading the outside lane or in some pretty good spots, like down on the bottom, you know, just not in super vulnerable positions with the car. And when I was, you know, a couple of those times, I thought that we could make it drive better. So I was really happy that we found ourselves in a couple of those spots at different times just to have an idea, you know, of what to expect Sunday from a balance perspective. And then certainly the, you know, the track is going to be much warmer. The grip level is going to be way down. You know, like everything about tonight was just best case scenario from how the car drives. So just realizing that the worst situation you were in tonight is, you know, going to probably double, you know, on Sunday, if not worse than that. So, yeah, all kinds of good little nuggets in there that I think will certainly apply.
When Joey was in here after he won his duel, he said that he thought Sunday was going to be kind of sketchy. The cars are going to be kind of on the edge a little bit, and that kind of thing. And it could be almost like a wreck fest, right? If the track is, I mean, the track will be hotter and it might be slicker. What do you think or anticipate Sunday's race is going to be like?
I could see it for sure. I mean, the cars were pretty unstable, you know, at different points in time, and you know, even in those closing laps when, you know, Carson was giving me some of those big shoves, you know, I thought he was doing it really well. You know, he was pushing me in the right places at the right times. And, you know, honestly, he was getting me out of shape really in places that I wasn't really expecting to be kind of on edge, especially at night like this. So, I could see that, you know, I could see the cars being out of control, and I think it's fine, you know, but what happens is you get to running, you know, pulling a group around there really fast in a single line, right? And then you get late race and guys start making moves, and it seems like the more this place ages, the more room you need to run a fast pace. Like, you can't just be, you know, locked to the bottom and just stay there, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, when the pace gets fast like that. So I'd say that's probably what he's alluding to, you know, a little bit is just needing some room to spread out. And unfortunately, when it gets late in the race, nobody's willing to give that. So I think that's, you know, that's where the problems typically come in.
Okay, John.
John Newby, Fan Buzz. I was curious, when you come into a race like this where it's a shorter super speedway race, does it help with knocking off the rust and kind of figuring out, hey, I need to, you know, drag the brake this much at this point, how big of a gap I need to leave, you know, those little details that are second nature and not, you know, deep in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's good to knock the rust off a little bit. I also feel like, you know, at this point in my career versus, you know, even 5 or 6 years ago, you know, it doesn't seem like it takes very long to get back in the groove. And I don't know if it's just getting older or what, but time seems like it goes by so fast. I thought we left Phoenix a couple weeks ago, you know, so it's like, I guess that works in your favor a little bit about, you know, just kind of staying in the groove as fast as time goes. But so maybe it's a little bit twofold, having some more experience and just the how quick, you know, the days go, it seems.
Steve Schweitzer with Inside the Cup Garage. Pit stops in the second race seem to be maybe not as organized as everyone would have liked. Did you get on pit road with the people that you wanted to? And what was the key to being able to run to the front when you came off?
Yeah, we really didn't. And I think a lot of that was because, you know, the 19 had spent the majority of the time leading the bottom lane, and I spent the majority of the time leading the top lane. So naturally, we both burnt a little more fuel than a lot of other people. That wasn't by design. That was just by the way it kind of worked out. Generally and typically speaking, you're going to pit with your OEM partners respectively. We were fixing to be out of gas, right? So it was kind of coming to the situation where we had to get to pit road with really anybody that was coming at that point in time. And I saw the 19 waving. And I saw, I guess, Denny was behind me at that point, and he was, you know, waving his hand out the window too. So I knew these guys were headed down pit road, and so I just told him, hey, you know, these guys are fixing to make a stop. And so they called me on in. I think we were getting pretty tight. So but it ended up working out. You know, I was kind of surprised it worked out as well as it did. Maybe to your point, other people had some issues on pit road or whatever. Obviously, I don't know, but yeah, we got back on the track and had a big head of steam, you know, with not really just the three of us, with Denny, the 43, and us, and you know, it was good enough to kind of get, you know, get back up through there.
All right, if I can get a microphone to Ken in the back.
Thank you. Two-parter, will you spend the time, the weather report for Sunday is a little dicey depending on which forecast you look at. Do you pay any attention to that at all? And even if it does not rain Sunday, it's going to be windy as hell coming out of the south. Is that 20-mile-an-hour, 25-mile-an-hour winds, does that change anything in terms of how you set the car up and just how you think about going about your day?
You know, there's not a lot we can do about that, obviously. I do pay attention to it, I guess, to answer your first question. But, you know, generally speaking, when you have the wind blowing at your door and kind of at the left front area off of turn four, which it sounds like, I haven't looked at the wind direction, but you know, it sounds like that's what you're saying. If that ends up being the, you know, ends up being the case, then that definitely makes things more challenging for us. So that's a really tricky spot on the track. For whatever reason, just the way turn four is shaped, it ends up kind of like everything runs together right there. It just kind of gets sharp and tight for whatever reason. Kind of coming back to what I was saying a second ago about needing some more space, that tends to be one of the places that you need it. And anything that forces you up the road right there tends to make that worse. So could potentially play a factor, you know, and obviously who knows whether it rains or not, you know, I don't know. They don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey Chase, I'm Chris Gollin with newsdaytonabeach.com over here to your right. I noticed on the last lap there, the 77 got a run on the back straightaway that he put into your back bumper, that I was a little surprised you didn't take that to the inside. On the last lap there, considering the circumstances, the points that are at play and the potential for damage for your 500 car, I was wondering how much you were looking in your mirror in those last few moments, and also how far you were willing to go to defend if the 77 did get a run.
Good question. I think that obviously I wanted to race this car, you know, on Sunday. But even if that wasn't the case, there comes a point in time when you have those big runs that are coming to your back bumper that it's like, I can pull over here and block you, and we're all going to crash. You know what I'm saying? So it there comes a point where it's like, hey, you know, instead of me worrying about trying to block you, you know, what is my best, you know, best decision after that, right? Or how can I keep that from happening in the first place? So sometimes it's unavoidable, you know, and you see that a lot. I feel like you see that the really good racers that know what they're doing and do a really good job at these places, they tend to make really smart decisions in those moments. I haven't always done that. I'll be the first to tell you, but certainly things to learn from. And you know, Carson did a great job pushing me there in the closing laps. I think the concern when you pull out of line is, does anybody go with you? And if not, you know, how bad does that deteriorate your finish at that point? So Kind of hard for me to see what was going on behind him to totally know the full picture, but yeah, it worked out. I'm sure it would be much crazier on Sunday, you know, to some degree. But yeah, it wasn't, and we'll try again.
Okay, we're going to go to Claire and then Bob. Go ahead, Claire.
Claire Beeline, Dialed In Journal. We were talking about the, you know, after the duel number one, how sketchy it was out on the track, or maybe the pushing was tough or whatever. A lot of times when we see races, like the people that raced duel number two saw a little bit of that from duel number one and maybe settled down. Or maybe then when we start talking about it, by Sunday it settles down. There's some confusion over whether you guys have an opportunity to get enough time to set the cars up differently. That it was a rush kind of for today for the duels. Maybe there'll be more time for tomorrow. Anthony Alfredo said, I think it was because it took, you know, we didn't have the time like we would have tomorrow to cars will settle down. How do you feel about all that? Do you feel like it'll, you know, be different on Sunday, or do you feel it's just Daytona?
From my position, I feel like there was time, you know, to make the best decision. Honestly, like if we had had 4 hours of practice, you could have still guessed wrong, right? Like you could have still maybe had the car too low for the nighttime conditions, or, you know, it's really hard to replicate the energy of the pack and how fast you're going to be going and the grip level and the racetrack and your travels and all that stuff is you try and science it out the best you can, but there's definitely going to be things that it's just hard to replicate until you get in a racing environment. So me personally, I would rather race and get a more realistic environment, because people aren't going to race like that in practice throughout the week. So I would rather just do that. And, you know, if you guess a little wrong, then good lesson learned for Sunday, regardless of what side of the fence you're on.
And then the booth was saying on television, what a piece of momentum for you, you know, to have the duel won, which is true. Does that drive your team? Is there a lot of momentum in winning the duel as you get ready to forward into the rest of the weekend?
Yes and no. I mean, we've been in this situation before. And it's, you know, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to get, I think they award some points now, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, so that's nice. No doubt that something you can carry with you after tonight. But I'd say the biggest thing is really the pit pick for the weekend, and that's been an area that I feel like has hurt us in this race in particular of the last few years. You just get so crippled on pit road, and you know, Jimmy, did he take the provisional thing? He did. So that there's every single stall on pit road is going to be used. So that's, you know, another small little tidbit of information that, you know, typically there would be one more opening that you're not going to have on pit road now. So, you know, that makes those pit picks even more crucial when there are less, you know, less opportunities to have an opening in or out. And that was a big initiative we had today, was be aggressive in this race and try to get ourselves a good pit pick for Sunday, just to try and hedge your bet, you know, cause you're stuck with that all day and we can't change it. And so hopefully that helps us. I think that's probably the biggest one, you know. It you know, yes, it's a win. It doesn't really feel like a win. You know, it's kind of you're excited on one hand, but also at the same time, I guess just experience tells you, and I guess the eyes on the big prize. My mind's kind of already there. I'm really not even worried about it, you know, tonight at least, and just kind of thinking about Sunday and what, you know, what we can be doing to make that better.
All right, we're gonna wrap with Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first, did you learn anything specifically about the Chevrolet body? Like, did you notice any sort of significant difference with it? And if so, is there anything you can say that was different?
I thought it was an improvement for us just from the pushing. You know, whether I didn't spend a lot of time pushing in the second row. You know, that's kind of the area that I feel like I pushed Eric a little bit. As we were kind of getting up to speed, but it wasn't like a true, hey, we're two by two and you know, your lane really has to make something happen. So I did think it was a small improvement there. And then I thought, you know, in the closing laps, you know, whether it was Carson's ability to push me. I thought we were just making a lot of speed, and I don't know if that was just we had the right formation of cars in a line, or just the, you know, our cars in general having good pace. But I thought both areas seemed to be a little better from my seat, but it's a little bit of a guess.
And you mentioned Carson. Like, are you? He certainly is somebody who's had his, you know, people have been critical of his moves. So I'm curious, like, were you confident with him behind him? Do you have a lot of experience working with him? And if you saw anything different in what he did compared to maybe what he's done in the past?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. I mean, obviously, he was very methodical from my position as to when he was pushing and how he was pushing. You know, again, I think all those things come back to the relationship that you have with an individual a lot of times, you know, and fortunately, I feel like we've really gotten along. And, you know, I've spent some time racing with him in the super late model world. We've kind of always, we've always gotten along okay. So, you know, I certainly understand there's been some instances where, you know, maybe I wouldn't have done that, you know, or whatever, but I do think some of those things are part of the learning process. I could look back at my career and pick out things that I probably wouldn't do over again either. And that's okay. So, you know, but my experience with him has been solid and been positive. And certainly tonight I thought he was really mature in how he went about the closing laps and how he was helping our lane make pace and better our odds for, you know, a Team Chevy vehicle to win.
All right. And quickly, if we can just wrap with Holly here, she has a quick question.
Hi, Chase. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. There have been years where people that have won the duels or the twins have come in and said, this is the car that's going to win the race. Do you feel like there's been anyone that you saw tonight in either of the race, a team or a driver, you know, that you felt like this is going to be the favorite? Or do you feel pretty?
Honestly, really, ever since Next Gen, I don't really see that anymore. Everyone, I would say of all the tracks, you know, certainly everywhere, but certainly at the plate races, you used to always, you're right. You know, I used to come down here and by Friday afternoon or Saturday practice, I'm like, man, you know, so-and-so is really good. Like, and that was always really fun too, from a competitor standpoint, because that was somebody that was a difference maker. And you knew if you had that person in your line, it was a good thing for you, you know, or if you were lucky enough that it was you. I mean, we've had cars like that down here in the past too. So, but I think the Next Gen era has pretty well stopped that. You know, I see us all being very, very similar. The cars are really draggy, you know, like used to, you have guys that are really fast, maybe pushing or good leading or whatever, but, we all just seem kind of the same, you know, and really circumstantial as to how you get pushes and how a person executes that or just the situation that you're in on track.
Thank you.
All right. Congrats again on the dual win, Chase, and best of luck on Sunday.